good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, he need cut a game.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. And I'm your host, Distant Thunder. That's Wakanja Hade in Ho-Chunk, and say hello to all my relatives in Wisconsin now. We're 5 days a week in the Madison 92.7 Devil Radio. We really appreciate their support and what all they do. It's a great station. And we want to say hello to everybody out in Radio Land, and also to our friends and relatives that are in Facebook.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. You can call them at 651-304-9986. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And you don't have to live in the Twin Cities or Minnesota to call them.
Yeah, ring their phone off the hook. I know a lot of people have called when.
Yeah, they were on our show a couple of weeks ago, yeah. And they said that they get calls from all over the United States, and they really appreciate it.
Yeah, and anyone can call and ask questions. And I know there's a lot of questions and a lot of things coming up with the new virus or the new strain.
The variant, the B117, and they get updated information daily.
Yeah, and also you know, where they can go and how they can be. I mean, they've helped people from out of state. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's for you guys in Minnesota and Ramsey County, but anyone can call them. And what's the number again?
The number is 651-304-9986.
Well, I like to blow our own horn, too. And I think this is one of the very few shows, weekly show or daily show, that does exclusively Native-centric news, Wendy.
Mm-hmm. And hear it anywhere else.
Right. Well, let's hope not. And we can claim that until we're
claiming it.
Until we're proven differently. But, you know, what's not – it's unique, but it's also, you know, we discuss Native issues, and Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. And with that, why don't we go to Ogama with the news, the Turtle Island News. Welcome, Ogama.
Hi, Yanimbuju. Hi, everybody. I'm Ogama Ganiwakwe. As always, I'm going to start off my news with a little bit of updates on events, what is happening in the Stop Line 3 movement. Today at 7 p.m., so that's right after this show, online there's going to be an event called the Rights of the Mississippi River Conversation Series. It's part of a series. This is conversation number one. It is hosted by Rights of Mississippi River on Facebook and I'm sure other social media sites. It is a free Zoom. The question of the evening is, what is your relationship with Nibe, which is the Ojibwe word for water? What is your relationship with water? And it's going to be a conversation built around that. And again, it's the first of a series at 7 p.m. tonight until 8 p.m. I'm going to try to get in there myself if I can, for part of it at least. It sounds really interesting. And I think those questions really do need to be answered. Water is not an unlimited resource, so we need to pay attention to how we're relating to it in the planet. Coming up on Sunday at 12 p.m. is the DFL Native Peoples Caucus annual meeting. That one is online as well, and information for that can be found on the Native Peoples Caucus online on Facebook. The event is going to be on Zoom this year, and it's going to include officer elections and constitution discussions. Coming up on It's April. Coming up on April 12th at 3:30 p.m. is going to be an event by McGizzy. McGizzy is located in Minneapolis, and they're having an event called Spring with McGizzy, and they're hosting informational and interactive forum about the McGizzy program, and leaders will be presenting lots of details and information about their respective program for the spring season. They looks like they're having First Person Productions come and Green Jobs Pathway and talking about academic opportunities. It looks really, really good, and they're also going to be doing a live Q&A session. So again, that is Monday, April 12th, next Monday at 3:30 p.m. You can find the event on McGizzy, that's M-I-G-I-Z-I, on Facebook, and that's going to be going Facebook Live for the virtual question and answer. There's going to be the Native American Forum on nuclear issues coming up here, and that one I did share a link to on the Native Roots Radio page, so make sure you take a look at that one if you are interested in Native American and wanting to know wanting a place where you can share your information or your opinion on nuclear issues. Some really big news today, and I know we're going to have somebody on here in a little bit who maybe can talk about this, but SB 2304 Division B was a bill in North Dakota that made teaching Native American history in all high school classrooms a graduation requirement for all North Dakota students, and it passed today. And that is really big news. We are really excited and proud about North Dakota for that one. That's a big step in the right direction.
It really
is.
It should be nationwide, really. Nationwide.
It really should be. Mm-hmm. I agree. So from Michigan, Michigan right now is battling the Enbridge Energy Company over the Line 5 pipeline. So the Line 5 pipeline runs under the Straits of Mackinac, and Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer ordered for the company to shut down the line. And we are now, I think it's within about 30 days for Enbridge's shutdown order that's supposed to be happening by sometime in early May is what Whitmer said. They're supposed to shut down by then. Basically, what Enbridge is trying to do right now in Michigan is that they're trying to say that the state does not have the authority to shut down the pipeline and that it should be moved to a federal court. So just happening now is that the state has submitted a 30-page motion, basically, and it's the state of Michigan versus Enbridge, and basically saying that the case should not be sent to federal court because there's no legal basis. Basically, Governor Whitmer says that the 1950s easement that Enbridge had under the Straits of Mackinac was violated in both the public trust doctrine and conditions and terms of the easement, and she's asked them to shut down by May 12th. So Enbridge has to make a response to that motion by April 28th, and it's definitely something that's going to happen in Michigan that's going to be kind of tensed. Enbridge has made it clear that they don't intend to comply voluntarily with the shutdown, so it's most likely that a court order would be needed to enforce the shutdown, but since it's between, you know, state and federal court right now, I'm not sure how that's going to play out. So more on that as we find more information about it. So that's kind of the big part of what I have today. How are you guys doing as far as the Derek Chauvin trial in the Twin Cities? I know we haven't really touched base on that this week.
Well, it's huge because, well, yesterday the main police officer said that isn't the way we train our officers.
The chief of police.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And Ordano.
Yeah, Lee. Right.
Yeah,
and then today there was more talk about that the training and that he'd been Chauvin has been on double secret probation a few times where he's had to be retrained in his way he arrests people, and obviously it didn't work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's had problems in the past, and there's quite a few incidents that he has had. You know, it's really sad that, you know, an officer gets away with, you know, one strike, two strikes. And, you know, I mean, when is it going to end where, you know, the first time an officer misbehaves or doesn't do something that they're supposed to do during an arrest, that they get thrown out. That's it. You don't get another chance.
And we always say, Wendy, there's good police out there.
Yeah.
I mean, your family has had a lot of police.
Yep.
You know, I'm on the Hennepin County Sheriff, Dave.
Absolutely.
Hutch is one of our close friends.
My stepbrother, who was an officer for many, many years, called me the night it happened and just said, this is unbelievable. Yes, the police stick by each other, but this is bad. This is really bad. So,
yeah. What else can you say, right?
Exactly.
Well, let's hope things happen well, because if they don't happen well, it's going to be a little tricky. Hey, mm-hmm. Up next, we're going to have North Dakota House Representative Ruth Buffalo on, talking about the bill and what else is going on in North Dakota.
Nice.
We'll be right back.
Stay with us. We have vital information we would like to share with you. The Department of Indian Works St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on testing sites, isolation space, vaccines, housing assistance, and food resources. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19 or has questions to determine if you should get tested, please call them at 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986. That's 651-304-9986.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are the Lusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back. And Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. You could call them at 651-304-9986. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And you don't have to be in Minnesota to call them.
Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, before we get our guest on, you had a little breaking news there you wanted to...
Yeah, you know, we get a lot of news updates from a guy named James Robert. I don't know if I should say his last name, but I won't. But he sends us a lot of stuff, and he's really one of our really great allies and friends. Mm-hmm. But he sent me an article, Why Are Rates of Disability Among Native American Children Going Up?
Mm-hmm.
And he says here that data from the American Community Survey paints a concerning picture. And this is an article dated April 5th. And I'm going to bring it up here in just a second. It's
hey, while you're doing – Wendy, why are you doing that? We have a North Dakota representative, Ruth Buffalo, on.
Let's do it.
And we really are so excited to have Ruth on. Ruth was a regular for many years of Native Roots Radio and on our Saturday show when we were on 2 hours a week. And it's just great to see her. We're now, you know, it's great. We can show our Madison and Chicago audience her great knowledge and the great things that she does. But there's some exciting news. Welcome, Ruth. I would love you to tell our audience about this bill that just passed. Welcome.
Sure. I'm in this virtual see you. Yes, today Senate Bill 2304 passed the House floor with a 72-21 vote. And so now it'll go back to the Senate because it's a Senate bill. It started in the Senate. It'll go back to the Senate and we will find out if they concur or do not concur with the amendments that passed the House floor today. So we're pretty excited and really happy about the outcome from today's House floor session.
Wow, that is so exciting.
And Ruth, could you remind our listening audience what the bill entails?
Yeah, so the bill, Senate Bill 2304, requires Native American history to be taught in grades K through 12. So integrating Native American history in grades K through 12 There were two different sections of the bill, and this bill has gone through a series of amendments, but we're still very happy with the outcome of the amendments. It was a very interesting and long process, but the key word is required, because prior to this bill being passed, so when this does become law, school districts are required to teach Native American history K through 12. Currently, as it is written in North Dakota Century Code, it is at each school district's discretion.
Wow. And I mean, that's a game changer, because we have a lot of people that we know are just ignorant to really what happened. So this is a game changer, Ruth.
Thank you. This definitely was a team effort. I had met my five bill deadline and, you know, drafted this bill, sought community input from many different key stakeholders within the community throughout the state of North Dakota, and then finally provided a refined final product to Senator Richard Marsalais, who is a member of the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa. So it was definitely a team effort. And, you know, especially dealing with the complexities of the pandemic, we had switched to a new online system to submit our bills online. So we learned so much so far throughout this pandemic as legislators, but we're super excited and so thankful for the community that came out and rallied behind this bill, because this is really the community's bill. And we're just so excited and lots of emotions today on the House floor. As soon as the vote, the final vote happened, there were lilies from the balcony and cheers and clapping. You know, the Speaker of the House had to, you know, hit his gavel a few times, but it was just a lot of emotion and people really expressing their gratitude. So is
North Dakota the first state to make this a law, or about to make this a law? Or what other states have done this?
No, we're not, but we're among the few now. Montana, and those efforts, I believe, were also led by MHA, a citizen of the Mandan, Hidatsa, and Arikara Nation. Denise Juno was the superintendent of Department of Instruction back then, and now she's in Seattle leading the school system there. And so definitely community-driven efforts. Also, I know Oregon also has this law. I can't think of – I know Oklahoma is close to – there's groundwork being laid there. And so it's really exciting to see these efforts come to fruition, but also really want to thank the people who laid the groundwork for us, because throughout this process, you know, like Dr. Karen Pates, who works at United Tribes Technical College, shared with us that she had been involved with efforts in the 70s, you know, and trying to get this passed. And so just a lot of emotion today of gratitude, happy tears, but just so excited for the future and the youth. You know, they showed up. White Shield High School showed up throughout this entire five-step process, and other area schools, Bismarck, Mandan, Standing Rock.
So. Cool. Well, I thank you so much for coming on, because I think it's really important that, you know, our affiliates like Madison and Wisconsin and Minnesota and Chicago hear this great news, because then the people that listen to the show can really push this forward too, because Wendy and I were talking before you came on, and it's just common sense. Thank you so much, North Dakota.
Mm-hmm. Really, and you know, when other states look at bills that really make sense, then they want to adopt those bills as well. So you're, you know, really, you know, paving the way for other states to really look at this as something that really makes sense and that needs to be taught in our schools. So thank you so much.
Yeah, this is huge. What else do you have going on, Ruth? I know you are so busy doing all your things. You know, what else? We haven't talked in a while. What else have you been doing?
Well, we are on day 59. Tomorrow will be day 60 of out of 80 days in our legislative session. We meet every other year. A bill died on the House floor today that would have called us in annually. So we're still doing every other year for 80 days. But just helping out where I can. And that's, you know, trying to stay balanced and healthy and well during this this legislative session right now. So.
Wow. Well, I want to thank you so much for spending some time with us. I know you have a meeting coming up really quick, and you could get away really quick. I really just want to say, Pini Gigi, for stopping by, and we missed you, and I hope we can talk more often. Ruth, I really appreciate you stopping in.
No problem. Matzigadad, thank you for having me, and see you.
All right, great good work. To see you. Thank wow, you. That's yeah. just awesome.
It is huge. You know, out east, my family is from out east, and I'm from out east, but just this, I don't think it was this past Thanksgiving because it was COVID, but the Thanksgiving before, you know, my family has lots of little kids, and, you know, some of them were dressed up as the pilgrims, and some of them were dressed up as the Indians, and they were like sitting down, you know, kumbaya, having dinner. And I just, you know, looked at the pictures, and I'm saying to myself, this is what the kids are learning in school, you know, that everything was fine and everybody got along and there wasn't any genocide and there wasn't any killing and murders, and this is what they're being taught. So this is really huge, and I think that, you know, when one bill passes and it's a really great one and it makes sense, then other states kind of look at it and say, hey, that's something that we want. And if you are if you want something like this in your state, go talk to your legislators, talk to your House representative, and talk to your senators, and you could do this. You can do this.
I think a point too, we talk to Mary Kunish all the time, and one of the things that she mentioned to us that that, you know, like Wisconsin wants to do the Murdered Missing Indigenous bill.
Yep.
They could copy Minnesota's,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
Isn't that how it goes?
Yes. And language from one bill can be brought to another state, and, you know, their lawyers and all the smart people look at the language, and sometimes things, depending on which state it is, they need to be tweaked. But yes, it could absolutely be done.
Yeah. Wow. That was exciting, dude. That was exciting to hear from Ruth.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, thank you again, Ruth, if you're listening, for coming on at the very last minute. I mean, literally, we called you like 10 minutes ago.
Right.
So really.
Well, and it was hot news, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ruth had been on our show for a couple years on her Saturday show.
Regular, yeah.
Yeah, and just giving updates. And sometimes it felt like she was in a desert there where, you know, not too many Democrats and not too many natives in the House. And we wanted to support her and this bill and what she's done and what she does for the community is just amazing, 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 Wendy.
Yep.
Well, that was awesome. So, hey, you know, we're going to have Nancy Bolio up.
Yeah, she's from
Bemidji
350 and Rise Coalition.
Oh my gosh, we've been married so long, we're saying things together the same way. It's just crazy. You read my mind. Hey, thanks again, Pini Gigi, to North Dakota Representative Ruth Buffalo, District 27, for stopping in and giving us that really, really, really exciting update, Wendy.
Yeah, definitely.
Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, Distant Thunder.
We'll stay with us.
We'll be right back.
Stay with us.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pini Gigi, and thank you for your support.
We have vital information we would like to share with you. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on testing sites, isolation space, vaccines, housing assistance, and food resources. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19 or has questions to determine if you should get tested, please call them at 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986. That's 651-304-9986.
Wake up with your favorite sexy liberal, me, Stephanie Miller, every weekday morning from 8 to 11 right here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, everyone. Matt McNeil here. A lot of things are different with the pandemic, but we're still a blue state in Minnesota, so some traditions must go on. It's the 2021 AM 950 Blue State Ball, Saturday, April 17th. But of course, this year, we're doing things a little differently. The 2021 Blue State Ball is going online. It will be a virtual Blue State Ball instead, but the trade-off is pretty much everyone's going to be there. Stephanie Miller, John Fugelsang, Tom Hartman, Santita Jackson, Mike Krupp from the Devil's Advocate, Robert and Wendy Pilot, Brett Johnson, and even I, Matt McNeil, will put on some pants and polish up the old Zoom camera for you. Join us on Saturday, April 17th on your computer, laptop, or iPhone. The virtual waiting room opens at 6 p.m., live music starts at 6:30, and we'll begin the long list of hosts at 7 p.m. Tickets start at $20, and tickets are non-refundable. There might be a little more adult language, so you've been warned. Everyone but the host will be muted, but the chat feature will be open, and of course, inappropriate images and chat will be dealt with. Join us on Saturday, April 17th for the 2021 virtual AM 950 Blue State Ball. Ticket information is at am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Right now, bees need a friend. You can be that friend while lightening your workload. Minnehaha Falls Landscaping can help you create happy places for bees and butterflies in your yard. We're reinventing lawns to be safe for pollinators with no-mow grass and blooming ground cover flowers that feed bees all season without any pesticides or synthetic fertilizers. Together, we can protect over 80 species of native bees in your yard. Visit MinnehahaFallsLandscape.com to get started. That's MinnehahaFallsLandscape.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for showers and storms tonight with a low around 53. Wednesday, rain with a high near 58. Thursday, more rain with a high near 59. And Friday, partly cloudy with a high around 53. Cafe Latte is the Eat Local Minnesota restaurant of the week. They have a large variety of box lunch items ranging from sandwiches to truffle plates. Plus, they have desserts available whole and by the slice and no artificial colors, flavors, or preservatives. Cafe Latte's on Victorian Grand in St. Paul. Details at eatlocalminnesota.com.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm awake.
We are a Lucid Nation.
Dave, welcome back. Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakanja Hade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indians Women's Sexual Assault Coalition and MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Wow. Hey, you know, we have a jam-packed show here. We just had North Dakota House Representative. Thank you, Ruth Buffalo. And now we're going to have Nancy Boley of Bemidji 350 and Rise Coalition give us an update. But welcome, Nancy.
Well, it's been a wonderful evening, Robert, and it's always a pleasure to be here holding space with you and educating our listeners. And I'm here in the town of Bemidji in northern Minnesota, and we just wrapped up an event called We're Still Here.
Wow.
And the reason why we did that was because we're in the deep north, and the north just got deeper a couple of weeks ago. Our Bemidji City Council voted down to honor our flags and fly them high. And you know our work with Rock the Vote Native Style, how we work so hard to get our Native relatives, our like-minded candidates into these positions. so we could have a place at the table and be a part of the dialogue and the decision-making. Well, Audrey Thayer of White Earth and Dan Jordan of Red Lake presented to the city council 2 weeks ago yesterday to fly our flags. And well, the majority vote rules, and we were denied to fly our flags. So, yeah, it was rather disheartening, you know, especially that we're on 1855 treaty land here. And Bemidji is surrounded by Leech Lake, White Earth, and Red Lake. And it was really a dishonor to have them vote that way. So we had to make some good noise today, Robert.
Yeah, and I caught a little bit that. One of the things I want to mention is I'm a high school teacher, and we have flags of all the nations, including Native American nations hanging up in our way as soon as you walk into the school. So this is really disappointing, Nancy.
It is, and you know, this town is, it's prosperous. You know, there's a lot of economic success here because of the money that these tribal nations bring into this local, you know, shopping area here. So they're going to have to do more than want our money because it's not enough anymore. And what we do know, too, is 2 weeks ago today, at the Beltrami County Commissioners meeting, our Red Lake brother, Tim Sumner, who is a commissioner on the Beltrami County Board, has been addressing the $189,000 Beltrami County Sheriff's Department has spent to protect Enbridge. So Commissioner Godfrey asked Tim Sumner, why are you so worried about Line 3 when it will no longer go through our county? So our question was, then why are we spending $189,000 to protect this company? And then why are you, Mr. Godfrey, the commissioner, writing letters to the editor supporting Line 3? You're abusing your title to mislead the public, and you're creating division when you're saying that Enbridge should be applauded for going far or above and beyond reaching out to the tribal nations. And most people, you know, here locally don't know that White Earth and Red Lake still have their day in court. And right. Back in December, Mille Lacs also joined the case. So we got 4 out of 7 northern tribes that say no to Line 3, but yet we get these commissioners and these false advertisements saying they have tribal approval when they don't. So today we just held a position to remind both of those governing bodies that we're still here. So we attended the meeting tonight at the Beltrami County, and through the walls, those concrete walls, you could hear the drums, Robert. It was powerful. Oh.
Hey, can you tell the audience in Madison and Chicago basically what Line 3 is, and just a little overview to catch them up in case they don't know?
Sure. Line 3 is an existing pipeline that runs through my reservation. It's 60 years old, and then Enbridge is saying, you know, they're really safe, but yet they're worried about this pipe bursting. So basically, Fond du Lac was pressured into accepting this pipeline because of the fear-mongering. But Line 3 is a tar sands. We know tar sands sinks, and it's really dangerous. So what they're doing is not actually replacing the old existing pipeline. They actually have moved it, and it's a relocation project. And it's running twice the amount of tar sands that the old pipeline is running. So there's increased amount. And it's also crossing onto the Mississippi twice. And we see that just about 30 minutes from Bemidji here on the Great River Road is where the first drill will take under the Mississippi, and then down by Palisades. So basically there's a new corridor, and they have just ripped through the forest and basically raped Mother Earth and for this new pipeline. So it is not a replacement. It is actually a relocation project. And basically the governor of Minnesota gave Enbridge the green light to go. And what's really, again, disheartening is the fact that our lieutenant governor is a White Earth enrolled band member. And her tribe hasn't been heard in court yet. But yet the governor will dishonor her and her people and people just like us and say, go ahead, Enbridge, you can start. So his executive order 1924, the government-to-government relationship doesn't mean nothing when he is shoving this pipeline down her throat. So it is a new corridor, and it's a dangerous one.
Exactly. And, you know, for people that don't know either, it's Minnesota's Standing Rock, no dapple, basically, is what's happening to us. And it's so sickening. The beginning of the Mississippi River is where this pipeline is going across on Itasca.
Right.
And it's sickening because it's such beautiful, pristine area to see all these trees torn down and all these pipes. And we don't need this oil anymore.
No, we don't. We're actually looking for the Green New Deal. And as any new product or any new idea, it takes time to get there. And I think, you know, we need to wean ourselves off of oil like a drug addict does off of a drug. It's, you know, so we slowly got to scale back on our usage and think about the Green New Deal and how we can move forward in a sustainable way. We're all living things because, again, we're all related. And, you know, we got to protect that because what good is anything else without the clean water? So, you know, all you listeners out there, local and from far away, we ask you guys to come here to Minnesota. We got 4 to 5 camps out there, and you can hold space with us in a good way. And like I tell everybody, you don't need to get arrested, but we might ask you to do dishes and cook. There's all kinds of different help that's needed. So, right. Again, you know, we welcome our water protectors, and we're always just going to keep showing up. And, you know, before my time runs out, I just want to make note, and don't know the exact date, but it's 2 weeks from yesterday. So 2 weeks, two Mondays, not next Monday, but the Monday after, we're going to show up at the Bemidji City Council where they declined to hang our flags. And we're going to make some good noise again, Robert, and remind them, too, that we're still here. So we're just getting warmed up.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. And everyone, is there a place where we can go and click on and say, okay, this is the information. I'm in Madison, Wisconsin, and I want to fight pipelines. Where do I go? What's the website?
Well, I would go to RISE, that's RISE, and that stands for Resilient Indigenous Sisters Engaging Coalition, because we need our allies. You can follow us there, and Robert, I'm so sorry, but I can never pronounce the White Earth Monoman Protector Camp, but that's also on Facebook. I promise I'll get better at learning how to pronounce that. But you can follow Camp McGizzy, you can follow Palisade, and you can go to stopline3.org. Inbox us at any of those, you know, Facebook pages, and we'll do our best to get back to you and let you know how you can find us when you get here. Because like I told the people today, this is more than a movement. It's more than a pipeline. It's community, and it's right. Defending our treaty and protecting each other and defending all that is sacred. And it takes all of us to do that.
Exactly. So did we figure out what the date was?
You know, I don't have a date on hand here. And
Wendy was looking.
I
thought
have a calendar.
She's
right
got
here.
A calendar.
Let me just take a look.
But
here.
You know, everybody. You know, the whole deal is we need to resist and divest and do these things because, like Wendy was telling me earlier, this oil's not even for the United States. It's not. These jobs are 40. You're going to have 40 part-time jobs that aren't from Minnesota to watch for leaks in these pipelines. And one thing we do know, and the people in Wisconsin know, is that pipelines leak. And, you know, it took a year and a half for Enbridge, this company, to cop a plea and say, oh, yeah, by the way, we had a leaky pipeline. We just didn't,
happened,
you know.
15 months ago. Oops.
And it's like, oh, well, COVID was happening, and we didn't know how to tell people. Mm. And that's what their response was, Nancy.
You know, they always find an excuse or, you know, we know we just can't trust Enbridge. But we've heard their false advertisements, Robert, and we have counteracted to those in a good way with some real truthful facts. And, you know, I just got a call yesterday from Charles Dolson, and he says, hey, Nancy, you know, I almost rear-ended a car because I was trying to let you know. I was thankful to hear a commercial that, you know, states the facts. And one of the facts is that there's only going to be 22 jobs, permanent jobs, after Enbridge is done raping the beautiful state of Minnesota. And, you know, like I told the commissioners tonight, why aren't we worried about our own livelihoods? Every single business in this town depends on clean water. Every small business owner along Minnesota needs clean water. And here in Minnesota, our tourism is huge. And without clean water, what good is anything? So we need to protect, you know, the mighty Mississippi and be Minnesota strong and say no to corporate powers that deny us our right to exist and to clean water. And, you know, I'm going to remind our listeners, you know, in a good way, to come up and join us and hold this space with us. And, you know, because we do matter and treaties matter as well. And we got to say no to Line 3 until it stops.
Absolutely. Peeny Gigi, Nancy, for the good fight and checking in weekly on what's happening up there in the occupied north where our sheriffs and police are armed officers for a foreign oil company. So Peeny Gigi for keeping us informed, and thank you so much for being on.
All right. Well, thanks for having me, and good night to everybody, and we expect to see you all soon. Water is life.
Water is life. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and up next, we're going to talk sacred animals with Wendy Pilot. Stay with us. Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to Jay Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at Jay Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Strong Hearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Strong Hearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center. Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit MN350.org.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hare.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Right. Hey, this show is dedicated to those who give back and fight back for our people and our sacred animals. We are the resistance. We are awake. All things are our relatives and what we do to everything we do to ourselves. Black Elk said that. Hey, I want to introduce Wendy. Wendy's my sidekick, and she helps me complete sentences here on the radio show, but she also has a sacred animal section that we like to bring up every couple days. Welcome, Wendy, and tell us your name, and tell us what you're going to talk about.
Yeah. My name is Hanaji Hihani, and that means cares for them, and I was given that name by my Dega, which is my uncle, Curtis. So as always, Curtis, thank you very much for that name. That means so much to me. I am a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues and policies at the local and state level. And so today what I'm going to be talking about are wolves. I talk about wolves a lot. Howling for Wolves is one of our sponsors. And, I was really thinking about the other day, like I talk about wolves so much and there's been a lot going on with wolves. So that's another reason why I've been talking about them so much. But I think I like wolves as one of my like top 10 animals. I love all animals, by the way, but I think it's because they're so much, you know, it's like our dogs.
Yes.
You know, so that's,
dogs are like wolves. Yeah.
they're descendants of the wolf. They surely are.
Our
definitely.
Shelter dogs.
Yeah. So we have this, we all have this friend. I've never met him before, but his name is James Robert. And he sends us information and news, and he's an ally of ours, Native American News. And he sent this article to me. It's written by Jacob Fischler, and it was just dated a couple of days ago, and it's from the Michigan Advance. And a controversial decision in the last months of the Trump administration to remove gray wolves from the endangered species list led to a massive overhunt in Wisconsin this year that the Ojibwe tribal representative said disrespected their wishes. Now, you know, Trump, it took him a little while to get out of office, but before he did a lot of damage before he left. And one of the things that I'm really angry about is that he took the wolves off the endangered species list. And he didn't do it by looking at science and concrete evidence. He just did it because I can't say it on the radio. But anyway, here goes the article. But there's no indication yet that the Biden administration will attempt to roll back that move despite an order the day President Biden took office that departments across the government review decisions from the previous 4 years that were damaging to the environment, unsupported by the best available science, or otherwise not in the national interest. The order specifically cited the gray wolf delisting as one to reconsider. And I really do hope that President Biden does reconsider putting the gray wolf back on the endangered species list. It is also unclear what effect the three-day hunting season in Wisconsin, where hunters killed nearly double the state's non-tribal quota, will have on other states. The season was held in last February after the November 3rd Fish and Wildlife Service order removed gray wolves from the endangered species list in all of the lower 48 states, mostly affecting the Great Lakes region. Wolves in the northern Rocky Mountains had already been delisted federally. A Wisconsin judge ruled in February that state law required a wolf hunting season. The state set a limit of 119 wolves that could be harvested. I'm going to change that word. I hate that when they use harvest. You harvest corn. You harvest soybeans. You don't harvest wolves. You kill them.
Right.
So I'm going to change the word harvest to kill because it really just gets me, my blood's boiling right now. All right, where was I? Okay, so the state set a limit of 119 wolves that could be killed by the general public, with an additional 81 reserved for the Ojibwe tribes.
Wow.
By the way, there I looked it up, and it seems to be that there are six Lake Superior, Chippewa, Ojibwe communities in Wisconsin right now. If I'm wrong, please correct me.
I like how your New York accent came out there. It's Chippewa.
Chippewa?
And communities. Yeah. You'll have to listen to the tape.
Well, when I get mad, you know what happens? Yeah. My New York accent really comes out a lot.
You open up a can of, you know what?
Yeah. Whoa, exactly.
We can't say. Where's my beeper?
The tribes were given 81 reserved wolves, but the tribes intended not to kill the wolves, but to use their quota as means for conservation, said Dylan Jennings, a spokesman for the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission, a group that represents 11 Ojibwe tribes in Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Michigan. Hunters killed 216 wolves in just 3 days.
Yep.
Quote, the second it gets beyond a certain threshold, There's a quick and irrational desire to hunt them again, Jennings said. Jennings' group opposed the hunt because of biological factors and because of the reverence for wolves in Ojibwe culture. Now, I looked up, you know, what do wolves mean to the Ojibwe people? And again, if I'm wrong, please correct me. Mm-hmm. But in Ojibwe tribe creation story, wolves are often described as family members to the tribe.
Yep.
Wolves were revered as to like a brother or a sister, along with the perception that whatever happened to the wolves, it will happen to one of the Ojibwe tribes. And they also talk about that they traveled the world together with the wolves and spoke the same language.
Yeah.
So it's really, you know, something special. And these animals are sacred to the Ojibwe tribe.
And every tribe has a
wolf clan, right?
Yeah.
Our own Lieutenant Governor, Peggy Flanagan, is from the wolf clan.
Yep, and yeah. She says that a lot. And what did she say to us on our show?
Yeah, she said that when they kill or trap and hunt wolves, it feels like they are killing one of her family members.
There you
go. She got really emotional about them.
Yeah.
You know, so the animal's fate is seen as tied to the Ojibwe people, and they view policies throughout the United States history where the government has sought to remove both Native Americans and wolves as threatened, strengthening and shared experience, Jennings said. So howling for wolves, though I'm spitting over my words. So howling for wolves is having an event, and I'm going to be taking part of it. You could sign up. It doesn't matter, you know, where you are. Howlingforwolves.org, and I'm going to be they made an appointment for me on Friday, April 16th, and I'm going to be talking to my House representative and my state senator about not having a Minnesota wolf hunt here in Minnesota. So I think that's important, and that's something that I want to do, and I'm very passionate about it.
I know we're ending the show here, but one of the things I wanted to say, too, is there's somebody who ran for president who really would want to delist the wolves, and this is a Democrat that lives in the state, and her name starts with, you don't know?
Mm-mm.
Klobuchar. Her name starts
with
Klobuchar.
Oh, yeah. She wanted to be the first one to bag a wolf. I think that's almost a direct quote that she said.
That's right. Hey, I would say, Peeny Geegee, Wendy, I would like to end with these thoughts. If you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. We're all on trial. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground, is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. Peeny Geegee to North Dakota House Representative Ruth Buffalo, Nancy Bolio, Bemidji 350. If you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. We're still here.
Free
water is life.
Tier. Stop line 3.
We are the 7th generation. Go ahead, Ogama.
Water is life.